Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
The Nets had zero issues in Game 2 last night without James Harden, who was sidelined with a tight hamstring, taking down the Bucks 125-86. Brooklyn led the entire game and never backed down from their 17-point first quarter lead. Kevin Durant finished with 32 points on 12 of 18 shooting, with Kyrie chipping in for another 22. Giannis managed only 18 points in the loss. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard joining us now. Chris, are KD and Kyrie just a bit too much for Giannis and the Bucks here?
Yes. It's just as simple as that. They're too much. Look, today's NBA, because the floor is so spread and it's so stretched out, it's more about skills than ever before. I don't think toughness and size are as important as they used to be because the floor is so spread. And the Nets have, their skills are just incredible. That's what's standing out to me more than anything in this series is the difference in skill level. So you got Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and they handle the basketball, especially Durant for his size. They shoot the basketball, and they can create off the dribble as well as just about anyone we've ever seen. And so you got two guys that are unguardable. And then when you surround them with role players who are skilled as well, Joe Harris, Landry Shamet, great shooters. Blake Griffin still has game. Nick Claxton, Bruce Brown, they can finish at the rim or near the bucket. You combine that and it's tough to beat. Then you look on the other side, and I think Milwaukee's showing a lack of skills. Giannis is great. Look, we all know that. He is an awesome player, but he can't shoot. It's a shooter's league now. He can't shoot from three. He can't shoot from 18 feet. He's 2 for 10 from the foul line. He can't shoot free throws. Milwaukee doesn't have one guy that you can give it to and say, go get it. Go get it. Not consistently. The Nets have two when James Harden's not there. They still got two. Milwaukee doesn't have one because Giannis can do it if he can get all the way to the rim. But if you back off of him and make him shoot or build a wall, it's going to be tough for him. Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday are nice players, but they're on-again, off-again all-stars. They're not a big three, and they're not even a big two, one of them with Giannis. Big twos or big threes are when you've got two guys going to the Hall of Fame. Chris Middleton or Drew Holiday, neither of them's going to the Hall of Fame. I just don't think Milwaukee's got enough, and the Nets have too much. Look, I'm surprised it's been this easy without Harden. I think the Bucks get they may get a game or two. I picked the Brooklyn in six, but it also could be a sweep if KD and they've got a good attitude because they're not getting too high. You see their comments, and they're taking Milwaukee seriously, which is good for Brooklyn.
I'm surprised. I don't care how great the other team is. In the playoffs, you should never be down by 51 points. They were down by 51 points at one point in this ball game. And as you mentioned, the skill, every time KD gets the ball, every time Kyrie has the ball, it's a ooh and ah moment. Even when, because Kyrie is coming down on a fast break and he drops it behind his back and he pulls up from 26. KD, heavy cross to the left, heavy cross to the right, pulls up on Giannis. Giannis fouls him. He let Giannis say, okay, I'm going to back off you a little bit. Heavy again. Heavy one more time. Back at you. Up and under. I mean, what are you going to do? Kyrie dancing on everybody. As you mentioned, Chris, because the space is so open and toughness, because first of all, they don't let you play that way anymore. The days of the Knicks and the Heat beating you up, scalping, you know, you can drag people out the sky like the Celtics was doing to the Lakers and vice versa. Now, you're going to miss like 10 games you pull somebody out the sky like that. So, as you mentioned, skill set. You're talking about two of the top five as far as skills. Being able to shoot from distance and from mid-range, get to the rim, free throws. You're talking about two of the top five guys in the NBA, and they're on one team. And the third guy that might be in that top five He on the bench with a hamstring injury.
And he's laughing.
He's laughing at y'all. He's like, yeah, dunk now. Yeah. Won't you dunk from half court? Mm-hmm. Dunk from the three-point line. Euro step that. Because, you see, I got skill. I would figure a way out to be able to score the ball and help my team. If you can't dunk, you can't do anything. I'm surprised. Not that the Brooklyn Nets won the first two games. I'm surprised how easy they made it look. By 51, how the hell you get down? That should be like maybe they get Charlotte down like that. But you can't get Skip, that's a two-time MVP. Down by 51. But I'm disappointed in Chris Middleton. 13 of 43, Chris. Holiday, 13 of 29. Giannis played unbelievable the first game. He got zero help. Giannis said, well, y'all ain't helping me. I'm not going to help y'all, so I'm going to play just as bad as y'all in game two. And you see what happened. They lose by 39. That's unacceptable. But you know what's going to happen, Chris? Giannis is going to get tired of this. He's going to get tired of seeing all these other guys win the titles, and he's going to bounce on Milwaukee, and he's going to go join up. The same thing. I love Dame, but I said this. I said Dame spends too much time in the gym working on his craft to just be okay in Portland, loyal to the soil, and not winning titles. They're going to bounce. You watch.
Mm. Okay, back to my friend Chris Broussard. Chris, I believe that you delivered a very insightful, on-target assessment of this series as we opened this segment. And I agree with every word you spoke about the Bucks. And I believe the Bucks are about to stop back on their home court because I think they're going to get swept. You could be right. They might win a game. I think it's going to be a sweep.
Two cases for game three, Bucks.
Game three?
Yeah, they're going to get game three.
Really?
Two cases.
Well, you're going to give me the points?
No,
they're
no,
3.5.
No.
Well, they're 3.5-point favorites.
Skip, you got KD
okay,
and Kyrie.
We'll talk about that later. Back to Chris Broussard. Chris, would you now please then direct your talents and your acumen to explaining to this man across from me that Kevin Durant is now the best player on the planet, not the guy, you know, that guy who's not in the playoffs anymore, who's sitting home posting about Gladiator on his IG.
Hey, look, it's up. I always say you become the mythical best player in the world in the postseason.
Yep.
It's up for grabs. I right now, you'd say KD is a front runner. I got to be honest, entering the playoffs, guys, I don't know where you were, but I thought Harden had a chance to grab that, too.
Okay.
I thought it was Harden or KD. I think now you would throw Kawhi in there, right?
Yep.
Let's see what the Clippers do.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, right now, I do think because of the skill level, I mean, Durant's unstoppable. And we saw LeBron. He's still a top five player and all that. But I can't call him the best in the world right now, no.
Thank you. Because just to remind everyone, through the first seven games of the playoffs, Kevin Durant is shooting 55% from the floor, 50% from three, that's 19 of 38, and 91% from the free throw line, that's 51 of 56. That pretty much closes the case that right here, right now, Mr. Sharp, your man is not the best player.
My guy's injured, my guy's out of the playoffs, so this is KD's moment. And KD is doing well in the moment.
Mm. So, Chris, here's the other thing that's happening that is really a disadvantage for the soon-to-be home team Bucks. I may take this bet. I'm thinking about it. Remember about the back and forth between James Harden, now sitting on the bench laughing, and Giannis. And Giannis started it when, as he was picking his All-Star team, he flat out said, I want somebody who's going to pass the ball.
He was goaded at that.
Was
they asked him why he didn't take James Harden.
He took Kemba over James Harden. And James is never going to forget that.
No.
Nor will KD, nor will Kyrie.
No.
And then it escalated because after the All-Star game, Giannis says, offensively, we went to whoever James Harden was guarding. So he took a shot at him offensively and no defensively, obviously.
And it's an All-Star game. Excuse me, this is not a playoff. This is an All-Star game. Ain't nobody play a defense.
You know and I know he took that personally because he then fired back via ESPN at Giannis by saying, I wish I could just run and be 7 feet tall and just dunk. Like, that takes a lot of skill. And then he laughed and he said, I had to actually learn how to play basketball and how to have skill.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a shot that landed right on the kisser of one Giannis because that is a fact.
Right.
Does he know yet how to play basketball when it's time to play basketball?
But, Chris, you see how they're playing him. Blake Griffin is at the, under the free throw line when he's shooting threes. So they like, we'll give you all the threes you want. He can't shoot the three. He got no mid-range game. He's a terrible free throw shooter. So basically, he Euro steps or he dunks. Lays it up or he dunks. And in the regular season, that's fine and good. But you know, come playoff time, when all they got to do, they don't have to worry about, okay, we got the Bucks today. We got Orlando tomorrow. We got the Heat. We got the Heat in 2 days. No. They got a seven-game plan, if it goes that far, how to deal with Giannis Antetokounmpo. How do we neutralize him? Well, keep him out of the lane. If he gets to the lane, hard fouling. Make him go to the free throw line and go 20 or 20. Make him go 22 or 25. They don't believe he can do that. And they definitely don't believe he can shoot the three. And they definitely don't believe he can shoot the mid-range game. So they're just trying to keep him out of the paint. And he hasn't figured that out. He should do no layups, no Euro steps in the offseason. Nothing but threes, nothing but mid-range.
I agree totally. And I've told you guys before, a formerly great player who still works in the league has told me he thinks Giannis is a number two because you can't just give him the ball and say, go get it. He does everything else, but he doesn't have any type of go-to shot or move other than, as you said, Shannon, getting to the basket, getting to the rim that you can rely on. And I want to go back to what you said earlier about Giannis eventually leaving. Because this, Giannis is at the level where when he doesn't win, he is going to get killed.
Yes.
It's kind of, he's not as good as LeBron was, but that's what happened to LeBron. I don't think LeBron was thinking about leaving earlier in his career.
Nope.
I talked to LeBron many times, and LeBron thought he could have taken us four and won a championship early in his career. But as time goes on and you're losing to big threes like he did in Boston, and Orlando didn't have a big three, but they had Dwight Howard and some talent around him. And you're losing those, and you're getting criticized. You're getting crushed because you're supposed to be this all-time great player. That's when the pressure mounts for you to leave. I think with Damian Lillard, it is that he's real seeing, I'm sure Dame thinks he's as good as Steph.
Yes.
I'm never going to get even close to that recognition if I can't at least get to the finals, let alone win it.
Or get
and
past
I think
the first
that's
round.
What, look, if Brooklyn keeps marching on and just wins, you know, maybe loses three or four playoff games and wins the championship, I think in the offseason, like especially the Lakers, they need to try to find a way to get some type of big three. Does Giannis and Steph, do they look at each other and say, let's try to get together? The teams are going to have to look and say, how can we beat Brooklyn if the Nets keep marching on?
Somebody's going to put a big three together.
Time out. Didn't Giannis just sign a 5-year supermax?
It kicks in next year.
Yeah, he's going to make $45 million a year to be the biggest fish in one of the smallest ponds.
Hey, and Steph Curry's due for $215.
Okay.
I thought it was a mistake.
And so, hey, Skip, somebody's going
to play.
If Brooklyn wins, I'm with Chris on you. If Brooklyn wins the title, Skip, somebody goes like, we can't beat them. Two can't beat them. We're going to have to put a big three together that's comparable. Now, and I can see that happening. I can see Dame say, look, I need to get to the Clippers or I need to get to the Lakers.
Okay. But on Giannis, do you think if they flame out against the Nets, do you think he's going to lose any sleep over it? I don't. Well, I think he's very happy there.
I think he's going to lose sleep once we get done with him. Once we get done raking across the coals. Because we're going to really rake him across the coals.
That's the thing.
Because last year, Skip, we gave him a pass. Well, the Heat got hot and, you know, yada, yada, yada. They went out and got Holiday. They got paired with Middleton, who went to the All-Star game again. Giannis is a 2-time MVP, went to the All-Star game, going to be an All-NBA player again, and he get bounced. If he lose four, oh, it's over. Oh, he's going to get right across the coals.
And he's about to make $46 million next year. That'll take some of that sting.
Well, you're right, Skip. Yeah. How's he get out of it? Because I thought he should have played this season out and saw what happened and then decide make your decision in the offseason and maybe think about leaving if they go out like this against the Nets. But I don't think he could do what James Harden did. Like, force your way out of Milwaukee like Harden.
Not with 5 years left on the deal.
So it maybe will have to be, yeah, right. It'll have to be somebody going there And who's going to Milwaukee? We'll have to see.
I think the thing that scared him is he hurt his ankle. Remember, he hurt that ankle in the bubble.
He did.
And that played. Hold on. I got 240 something million sitting on the table right now for me, and I hurt my ankle. Let me go ahead and take this money. He might have not have signed, Chris, had he not injured that ankle. Maybe he come out the playoffs 100% healthy. Maybe he thinks about it. But all of a sudden, you have an injury, and all you're like, hold on. Man, I can't be messing with my money like this. That's a lot of money to, like, okay, wait till next year.
There might be something to that. I mean, the reality is the Bucks are too good.
Dame and the Lakers.
Bad at this point.
It's over.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
While LeBron's season might be over, he hasn't moved on. Well, not quite yet. He posted a video on Instagram from Gladiator with Russell Crowe's character saying, quote, "I will have my vengeance in this life or the next." It was accompanied by LeBron's caption and read, "Promise you I will. Count me out if you want to." Chris Broussard is still with us. Gladiator, the kind of movie I always watch, went on. Chris, do you like what LeBron posted?
Well, it's funny, guy. I don't know if you guys saw this, but so the quote, of course, from the Gladiator is, "In this life or the next, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to win, get vengeance." Richard Jefferson, LeBron's good friend, former teammate, he responded to LeBron's post underneath saying, "So I guess it's so next life it is." So he's saying, "No, you're not getting any vengeance in this life." I didn't like it. Because I think LeBron is a nice guy. At his core, LeBron is a good guy. And I feel like whenever he kind of gets out of character, as I would say, and starts talking trash or being the bad guy, it doesn't work out. If we go back to 2010, after he goes to Miami, they have the big party, right? Not one, not two, not three, not four. He was right, not three. It was just two. It didn't really work out, all right? Then they have the whole campaign that summer of he's the villain, right? Everybody was down on him because he went to Miami. Now he's the villain. He's going to embrace it. He's going to wear the black hat. And it didn't work out that first year in Miami. He went back to just being himself. And, of course, the rest is history. They win the next two championships. You can go back to 2019 when he comes back from the groin injury with the Lakers. "I'm activating playoff mode." They go 8-13 the rest of the regular season.
And you doubted
him. He sits out. They don't
make the
playoff.
And everybody doubted him. And what happened?
The bubble.
Well, we doubted him. They didn't even make the playoffs that year.
Right.
Now it worked out last year, yes. But this year, in April, a thunderstorm is coming. It was a sprinkling, all right? It was a shower. It was a sun shower, all right? So I would prefer that LeBron go on vacation, hang out with Savannah and the family, have some fun, get away from hoop, then get back in the lab, and to Shannon's point earlier, get on the phone with Bradley Beal, get on the phone with Dame Dalla, start recruiting, and then come back next year. Don't say nothing. Just come back with a vengeance next year. Run the point. Give me 21-10, and then we'll see what they could do with Brooke.
No, I can't do that. Because I can't do that. See, we've all seen what I didn't know he was that good. He snuck up on me. How many times we heard, man, they snuck up on him. They snuck up on him. They didn't know they were that good. They took him lightly. I'm telling you I'm coming. I forewarned you. You remember, I'm telling you, you doubt me at your own peril, Skip Bayless. I know you at the front of the band. You the drum major in this. And there's a lot of people playing horns and flutes behind you that's echoing, that's trumpeting this song that you got going. But I got something for you. Yeah, we had a shortened off season. Won the championship in October. We end up having to start playing the season come December, starting on Christmas. So everything was condensed. I didn't get the regular offseason that I normally get. The regular season was condensed. I hurt my ankle. Funny, nobody was talking about Father Time. Nobody even mentioned Father or Time with LeBron James before he got that ankle. Then all of a sudden, Father Time touched him on his... I know, having dealt with high ankle sprains, how difficult they are to overcome. But I'm telling you this. Given the fact that he's going to have an extended offseason, because normally, Chris, you know, he always goes up until the very end. He's one of the last men standing.
Right.
Now he gets an extra 6 weeks. Look at all the teams that's in the playoffs. What happened last year when the bubble ended?
Shannon.
Yes.
Can you name the time, though?
Yes.
Where LeBron's come out and said something like this, and they won.
Yeah, he did.
Like, he wasn't going into the bubble bragging, oh, I'm about to do. He just did it.
No. What he's saying is that y'all. No.
He just did it.
I don't believe he's the villain in this situation. He's just saying, you're doubting me. Everybody's saying that I've lost a step, that Father Time is touching me on the shoulder. I'm just going to show you. I'm going to go back in the lab, and when I come back out, I'll be a new. I'll be new, Skip.
Are they going to have wine and cigars in the lab?
Yeah, they're going to have all that.
He needs to back off the wine and the cigars. He needs to,
wine,
to
good
recommit.
For you. I might need to get on me some.
Maybe a sip a night, but I think he's drinking a bottle a night.
Oh, well, if a little good, more got to be better.
Yeah, that's what they say. So I appreciate everything Chris Broussard just said, because when I saw this, at first I laughed, and then I was a little sad for LeBron because he just can't stand being out of the spotlight. So he's got to go badass. He's got to go gladiator. I will get my vengeance in this life or the next. And I'm surprised that Richard Jefferson took a shot at his friend again, because that's a shot to say, well, it's going to have to be in the next life, right?
We're not listening to Richard.
Okay. So the point is that I believe LeBron is feeling threatened, not only globally by Kevin Durant, best player on the planet, but locally by Kawhi Leonard, who's making his case as the best player on the planet, as Chris just brought out. So the point is that all of a sudden, he's under fire on both fronts, because Kevin Durant is playing at a level we have never seen him play. And all of a sudden, Kawhi Leonard went up to Jordan-esque levels in Game 6 and 7 to pull them out of the hole that they dug for themselves against the Dallas Mavericks. And again, I hark back. If we could just briefly see what Kawhi did 2 years ago in that commercial, the New Balance commercial, Kawhi is finally backing this up right under LeBron's nose right here in Hollywood. If we could see it, here's the commercial. This was 2 years ago, and it is finally coming to Kawhi. Oh, look at that. Little dangling keychain with the crown on it.
I mean, you make a commercial to sell a product, to try to sell a product 2 years later?
Look at this.
Why did you back it up when you made the commercial?
New Balance. Don't tell anyone.
Chris,
did you see the exercise? It's Kawhi Town now. L.A. is Kawhi Town. And I think
he doesn't even live in L.A.
That.
He lives in San Diego.
Well, it's L.A. proper. You know how it goes. He is an L.A. area resident. You know it, and I know it.
No, he's not.
In this city, if the Clippers pull off what I think they're about to pull off, which is Utah, Suns, Nets, it's going to become Kawhi Town.
You know, first of all, they're not pulling up
LeBron
anything. You know
that. Ages into media
hold on,
mogul.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Just a second. Let me get this. Make sure I get this on record. So how can KD be the best player on the planet when he has clearly the best team on the planet and he lose to the Clippers?
Well, he doesn't have James Harden right now, right?
I ain't talking about right now. No, you told me. Now, hold on. When have Chris, how many times have LeBron James gone into the finals and had three of the top five players on his team and lose? Then I gotta give you that. He one time, 2011, I believe he had three. He Dirk was one of the top. So, but he had Chris Bosh, D Wade, LeBron against.
Bosh probably not top five. Yeah.
You don't think he was top five in that
Bosh
series?
Probably not.
I'm talking about in a series.
Oh, in that series.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But you got not only you got three of the top five, you might got three of the top 10 guys in the league on one team, and you lose. And you talking about he's the best player on the planet?
Do the Clippers have three of the top five? No, they do not.
No.
They got Kawhi Leonard, and here he comes.
I think the Clippers are the best team left in the West. Look, I wouldn't be shocked if they don't get there, because I think all these four teams are pretty close. But I think the Clippers should win the West. And while I got Brooklyn beating them, their roster matches up pretty well with Brooklyn, especially if it's just KD and Kyrie. Because you got Paul George and Kawhi that you can theoretically put on them to slow them down a little bit. If Harden's playing, then I think Brooklyn will roll. I still would roll with Brooklyn anyway, but that'll be an interesting matchup. But Shannon, I'll say this about LeBron, and we're talking about Father Time. He's now been hurt fairly seriously two of his last three seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and the one season he got through, he got a 4-month hiatus. And you know that part of father time is not, it's not like you can't play anymore. You're not great anymore.
Injuries happen with frequency.
But it's just you can't sustain it. Yeah, the injuries. And so that's what's one of the things that's making me look at this as this is father time, not just the injury. It keeps happening.
The thing is that it's freak. You know what I'm saying? A guy, you know, undercuts him and rolls his ankle. He's going for a loose ball and does a split and tweaks his groin. These are freak injuries. And I just think the thing is, you know what, hey, we're going to get a little bit more pliability. We're going to start stretching, get on the reformer, start, you know, do a little Pilates. Mm. We're going to be right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he was suggesting with the Gladiator post that Solomon Hill was his Commodus who sabotaged him by stabbing him before they had their death match in the Coliseum. Right?
I would have loved to have seen how this season played out had Goat James stayed healthy, had AD been able to stay healthy. I'm not so sure you'd be over there with your chest all out, your jacket unbuttoned like you're puffing right now.
Yeah, I'm puffed up.
Yeah, I know you puffed up right now because Goat James and AD up out of there. Mm. But they'll be back. Mm. They'll be back. And then what?
So you weren't embarrassed
by
this?
Well, LeBron needs to get on AD, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, AD gonna get the lap. AD gonna get the lap. He gotta get
spending $1.5 million on his body like LeBron.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And by the way, you guys keep bringing up Bradley Beal and Damian Lillard. Guess who else is about to be free when this playoffs are over?
We don't want
Kawhi
him.
Kawhi Town.
We don't want him.
Kawhi Leonard.
We don't want him.
I don't know.
We want Dame Dollar.
In fact, a longtime NBA source, highly trusted source of mine, when it looked like the Clippers were about to flame out against the Mavericks, texted me in the middle of whatever game it was where they looked like they were dead in the water.
Oh, game three when it was down 30-11?
It was actually game six he texted me. And he said, LeBron's got Kawhi on speed dial. He's already written the text, and he's about to hit send as soon as the game is over. Please come join me. To Kawhi.
We good. We want Dollar. Mm. I want Dollar.
Yeah.
I want Dollar.
Oh, so you don't want to win?
I want Dame Dollar. Give us Dame Dollar.
If Brooklyn sweeps, to the finals, maybe. But otherwise, Skip, if the Clippers come close, it won't look good for Kawhi to just go to L.A. with LeBron.
No. No. I got it. He's got his own dynasty in the making.
Hmm. Really curious about that text, Skip. Interesting information there. He's got some sources. Chris, we appreciate you taking the time today.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.